Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello! Hi, everybody! Welcome to Question Reality. I am your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest on the show will provide you with advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, we've been on the show for 9 years. We're celebrating the big 10 next year. That should be applause. Albert. Oh, he's not doing his job again. Oh, my God. You know how I threaten to fire him every week, but that's Albert. I can't fire him because he's my husband, so he does the applause free of charge. So can't fire him. But our guests on the show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists. Oh my gosh, the list goes on and on and on and on. Basically, if they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you career entertainment advice. And what's great is that we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional, obviously, to beginner once in a while, because we want to hear about the trials and the tribulations and the eating tuna fish for a whole month so they can be able to afford headshots. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but that is what happens, Lord. You know it. But that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions, no matter at what level you are. Now, you can either listen or download any of our past shows by going to our archive page, and that's on the latalkradio.com website. Just go to the Channel 1 link. There's a drop-down box. Click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. We also have our shows available for free under iTunes on the podcast section, I believe it is. And we're also on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio. Or you can Google me, Google Priscilla Leona, and you'll be able to find us in the search box. I'm choking here. I just put a damn Starbucks. Oh, no, what is it? A Starburst can piece of gum in my mouth, and I can't get it. I'm sucking the juice. It's like so good. If you want to find out about our future guest, you want to go to our official website, not latalkradio.com. That's where the show airs. If you want to find out who's going to be on the show in the future, our shows are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. You have to go to questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. And you can see all of the guests that are going to be on our shows. Now, lastly, I want to encourage you to download our new free app. It's newly designed for Android and iPhone, and you can listen to any of the other exciting shows that are on LA Talk Radio. As a matter of fact, the show right before mine, I believe, and I hope this is right, I think it's called Frank Talk, but you hear the wonderful Susan Olsen, who used to be little Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman. Always interesting. Their show is fantastic. So that one comes on right before my show. So go to latalkradio.com and download the app so you can see what you got. Now, as always, we have a fantastic guest on the show today. I am going to tell you just a little bit of it, just a little teaser. Her name is Vida, and I pray that I get her last name right because it's very, very exotic. Vida Ghaffari. Applause! Oh. What is going on over there? What is happening? I'm going to throw something at you. Okay. Vida Ghaffari. Vida is an award-winning actress, voiceover artist, and fashion blogger right here in Tinseltown. Now, her website is SoVeryVita.com. That sounds like a product. That's like something you can drink. SoVeryVita. SoVeryVita. She's also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, I hope. I added some of those in. I assume she is. But definitely SoVeryVita.com. So please go and check her out while I am telling you about what I did today. We just came from my wonderful friend. Her name is Mary Lou Belli. She's an A-list director in this town. You know her from NCIS. Which NCIS? NCIS New Orleans. She does a lot of directing on that. She directs sitcoms. Oh, she directs everything. One of the most wonderful women in the entertainment industry, because she is a networker. She is, if you are her friend, she is going to hook you up, right?
I should get to know this Mary Lou Belli. Yeah. I heard her speak once. I believe it was at AFI or Women in Film something.
That's right. She is part
of
Women.
Yeah, she's a real trailblazer.
Yes, she is. She is a wonderful woman. So we just went to her house. She had a reading for her very, very good friend, Stephen H. Foreman, who's just wrote another book. It's called Journey, a Western. And Stephen H. Foreman is married to, now things happen in our lives. You just never, when they happen, when they're happening, you may not ever think that they're going to, that something is going to ever come of it. And I preface this because picture it, 1979. I'm a little girl sneaking into a movie theater to watch Grease, right? Little girl, not even 10. I'm in there, right? I'm like, oh, Grease is the word. Yeah. And we sneak in. Love this film, right? Who is married to Stephen H. Foreman? Jamie Donnelly, who was the brush-a girl in Grease. She was one of the pinkettes, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah. Or maybe it was, what was the brush-a girl? So anyway, Jamie Donnelly is married to Stephen H. Foreman. And I've seen that movie like 25 times,
Via. I bet you have.
And I never thought that, you know, that I would actually run into her. But she comes to Mary Lou's master classes, which I go to.
Oh, nice.
And her husband had the book. So you have got to check it out. It's on Amazon. And just some of the people who recommend this book and who have written testimonials is Tony Shalhoub, who is from Monk.
Another trailblazer.
Emmy and Golden Globe winning actor. What is it, Monk? And then he did Guardians of the Galaxy or Galaxy Quest. Quest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unlimited. Who doesn't know Monk, Tony Shalhoub? So he said that this book was an eye-opening depiction of the savagery. How do you say savagery?
Savagery.
That should be a perfume or a men's cologne. I like it. And magnificence of the period. It redefines and reanimates our conventional notions of the Western saga. The characters are vividly drawn. The writing style is almost painterly. It's visual and it seems like a firsthand account of actual events. Stephen Foreman transports us to a world that is recognizable and at the same time fresh and enthralling. So, and believe me, he was reading a passage, I was like, oh, I'm engrossed. And I'm not a Western person. I don't really I don't really dig Westerns, right? But this is a really great book. And then the last person who is a mutual friend of theirs is Gary Lennon. He's a producer of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. And he said, Stephen Foreman is an amazing writer who takes you on a journey with his words. He writes about the human condition and how we wild animals take care of one another in the wild. His words explore big themes and the way that life binds us together and tears us apart. Read this book. Again, go to Amazon.com. It's everywhere. Amazon, wherever they sell books. And it's called Journey. A Western Journey, and that's the name of a girl. And it is set in the 1800s, and it is about Journey, who is a fiercely independent 16-year-old of mysterious origins. It's about a person named Reuben Moon, and it's a person, Isu Burdock, who is a brutal, pragmatic, wealthy slave trader. So check it out. He was reading a passage. Oh, my gosh. It sounds really, really good. And again, I'm not a Western person, but I definitely, if I can be turned on to Nashville and I don't like country music and I start watching it, I'm ready. I'm open for change. My gosh. So again, go to Amazon. I think it's like $17. So it's not even like really expensive, but you got to read the book. It sounds good. I can't wait. Now, last thing before we get to Vita, 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 Vita. Okay. You know how I'm always telling you, actors, about jobs that you can get to supplement your income. And I don't like to tell you about, barmaid and waitress jobs and the nanny. I like to find jobs that are kind of quirky and weird and out there, right? Something that would be new. Well, I found another one. It's called Rent a Friend. Yes, you can actually do this. It is Rent a Friend, and it is a company that helps people meet new people and find platonic companionship and companion caregiver respites. And you can get paid. You get paid to be a friend.
Like a personal assistant or just to go to the mall?
No, just a friend. Hang out. Yeah. Go to the mall, come over there, and they force you to look through their damn, the photo albums from 1937. Or something. I mean, I would find that interesting.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about registering to rentafriend.com.
But you know, it's just a sign of what our world's become.
I know. Everything's social media behind the computer. You know, you got to rent a damn friend. I don't know because you're kind of young, but back in the day, Albert and I, when we would play, we would go outside, we'd get on our bikes, and we'd go to our friend's house. We knock on the door. Hi, is Karen there? And she'd come out and we'd play.
Like most normal humans.
Now you go trying to knock on somebody's damn door. They will blow your ass away with an AK-47. Or at least call 911. Right? There's some weirdo outside my door. Because I know now, even I, if somebody knocks on our door and we're not expecting anyone, I'm like, Albert, don't open the door.
Who is
don't it? Don't open the door.
Even when people call, I'm like, who's calling?
I know. It's crazy. So runafriend.com. All right. Now back to Vita. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Vita. Very exciting. Vita, you have two recent film premieres. One of them is Holy Terror, and the other one is I said this earlier perfectly.
Hebristophilia. Yes.
And this is fantastic. Two premieres back to back. That's fantastic. First of all, congratulations on the premiere of the two films. Let's start with Holy Terror.
For sure.
And that is starring Kristen DeBell and Mel Novak.
Yes.
We had little Mel on the show a while back. Oh my God, he was a total trip. He was telling us, remember Mel, Albert?
He's quite the charmer.
Oh my gosh, yes he is. I had a hot co-host girl. She was maybe, I don't know, 18, 19.
And I'm sure he hit on her.
I'm like, oh my God, Mel could not even concentrate.
No,
Mel has still got his game going
Mel
on.
Mel loves a pretty girl.
I'm telling you, he does. I have no idea what that says.
I adore Mel. He's a wicked flirt.
Oh, I love him.
A wicked flirt.
But you know, he's still got it going on.
He's a best dressed man in Hollywood.
Oh,
he gets
custom
made suits from Rockies. He's quite the dresser. So.
Yeah, and he had the confidence because in his mind, he was walking out with that 18-year-old.
Oh,
and there was
no reason
why she would not be interested in him. That's a man with confidence.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, but he was telling us fantastic stories of when he worked with Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah. Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, incredible.
Yeah.
I'm working in a film with Mel is like an outworldly experience. He's so talented.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
And so can you please first tell us the storyline of the film Holy Terror? Is it a feature? Who was your character?
Sure. I mean, it was loosely based on like The Conjuring, all the old exorcism movies of the days of yore. I don't want to bring up The Exorcist, but mostly more The Conjuring. And the filmmakers are really talented guys. Gregory Hatanaka, I'm a big fan of his. One of my favorite movies is Mad Cowgirl. This came out during the whole, you know, Mad Cow scandal. So I'm a big fan of his. He did Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. Just really, really talented. Violent Blue Dream. Great, great films. So it was great working with him. And Rich Mallory was the director, writer. And Rich this is his second feature, and it's a horror feature, much like his first feature. So, you know, it was really Sociopathia, I think, was the other film. It was really exciting to work with him. Gregory was the executive producer and also the cinematographer. And he is just incredible. You know, he can do so much with indie film. He's a very, very talented man. We also worked with Mel Novak. Of course, he was Father Murphy and he was incredible. Christine DeBell was great as the head nun lady. I forget the name of the character, but she's an outstanding actress. She was in Meatballs and The Big Brawl, and just, you know, she was Jackie Chan's girlfriend in that. So if you think about it, they're kind of like cult martial arts stars in this horror film. So that was kind of interesting. We had a very interesting turnout from the cult fan base coming to the premiere, but that was wonderful. And we also had a great up-and-coming actor, Scott Butler, Jesse Hublick, and some others were wonderful in the film. And it was just a great experience. I really, really enjoyed it. And I play the role of Haley. She's a very troubled girl, to say the least. And the storyline, it just basically started with Haley. So I was pretty much in the beginning of the film, and there were some other scenes I was in, but I was definitely a supporting character, and it was a great time. I mean, I was often referenced in the film, so it was a real pleasure working with them. And might I add, and I guess this is my badge of honor, when I came to town, I did a lot of horror films. You know how it's like, as a woman, you do horror films when you come here. And it's almost like it's come full circle for me, because now I'm doing horror films. And again, so I love playing the character roles, but it's kind of different for me. Instead of being like the friend, I'm the girl, which is interesting to me to evolve into the girl. So it was a great experience.
The girl who gets chased or murdered or killed?
I'm never the girl that gets naked. But I'm always the friend of the girl that gets naked. And I did not get naked this time. So, but yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Vita is referencing that she may have gotten naked before. So let's look that up.
No. Oh, you did. Never. Okay. Never, ever.
Darn it.
Maybe one day we all have a prize.
Min, you're,
right?
You're just out. You're, that's it.
You get there's to... so many beautiful women that should get naked. Why should they be me?
Right.
So especially the ones that are surgically enhanced.
Right.
So basically, I worked on this film, and it was the most physically and emotionally extenuating film I've ever worked on. We filmed in a church basement. I mean, I don't know if I should give this away. I don't want to ruin the relationship with the church, but it was, we got the location literally a day before the shoot. It was a week before Christmas. It was a very conservative church. I got to know the guy that was on the board of the directors. I kind of just charmed him. Right? So we go there, we shoot, and we're like, he's like, what is this movie about? Can I see a script? I'm like, oh, we don't have time. It's about a troubled priest. You don't want to say it's an exorcism. So meanwhile, I'm like covered in green slush on my face, yelling and screaming without giving too much of my character away, you know, shouting obscenities in different languages, much like people that are exorcised do.
Right.
And the whole time, they're like, the choir's singing upstairs. They're wrapping Christmas presents for, like, you know, underprivileged youth. And, like, we're just, like, screaming and yelling. And it was just hilarious. So, and then, like, I was, like, all made up. And, like, they were trying to hide me from the guy on the board. I mean, these are really, I mean, I'm not a religious person, but they were very conservative Christians. I don't know how they, I don't know if it was evangelical. I don't know, though they have an evangelical service on Sundays, but it was a very conservative church, like something you'd see in Orange County almost. But what I loved about it was the decor was kind of like 60s, 70s, and the movie was trying to capture that feel, though it wasn't a period piece, but it just worked out well. So they couldn't move a mattress into the basement, right? Because when you think of somebody exercised, they're on a bed. I was in a really hard chair. They had to hit me, and Mel's still pretty strong. They had to, like, I'm shaking around in this chair, and there's, like, three, like, bars on the chair, and I'm, like, rocking against the chair. I had to go to physical therapy for weeks, and then I had to take all these meds, and then because I took all these meds, and I was so stressed about my injuries and my insurance.
Was that Mel who did that?
Mel, Scott Butler, and Christine DeBell, shame on you.
God, they and racked, like, you up.
Yeah, right? Just keep shooting. Just keep shooting. I'm like, ow, ow, don't I get a pad? They're like, no, they're going to be able to see it. So I'm like, it's a really dark, dank basement. Please, sire, please. But anyway, so it was really painful.
Funny.
And then after that, it was just like, then my, you know, I had to take all these meds. My ulcer acted up. So then I couldn't eat, like, I still can't have tomato sauce on my pizzas now. Like, it's affected my life. I love food. I couldn't drink coffee for months. I had to lay off of booze.
God.
I mean, which is, I guess is a good thing. I haven't had a glass of wine since January, and I remember the last glass of wine.
Wow.
I had. I just started drinking coffee again. Coffee is what I miss the most, ironically. I really miss coffee, and I had some today, so I'd be alert for you. But I really miss coffee. Like, it was so traumatic for me that when I would walk by a Starbucks, and it's like sense memory as an artist, like tears. All my memories of, like, restaurants that I went to that I couldn't eat at anymore, like little falafel places. So I was really affected by this. And I wouldn't dare say it to the director or producer because I want to work with them again.
I know, but it was almost like you were really exercised, really right? Exercised. You were exercised of your coffee.
Yes.
Of your alcohol. Yes. Thing. Like, took that yearning and desire right out of
yes,
your ass.
And I had to go to like three different gastroenterologists. I mean, wow. It was, I think it was mostly emotional because I was like, oh, I'm so injured. Why didn't I speak up for myself more? Why didn't I say, I'll go get a mattress. I'll pick something. Because you know how it is with indie film. I'll find it. And I'm sure I have an air mattress in my garage or my storage shed somewhere. Right. But what, are they going to exercise me on an air mattress? We couldn't. There those people at the church, they were watching us like hawks. So it was just a very comical so thing. I really wish we had a time for like the BTS.
We're getting the idea. I wish I would have been on set to see that. That sounded funny. So what, tell us about, I have never, is this a word? Hubristophilia?
Yes, actually it's something very perverted if you Google it.
Oh my God, what is
the guy that made the film is a very interesting character. His name is, I want to say Romain Simon, but I think it's Roman Simon. That's how, he's Haitian. He's Haitian-American. He's a real character. He's wildly talented. He has a really interesting cultural background. One grandparent was like prime minister of Haiti. The other grandparent was a voodoo priestess. So there's really interesting themes in his films.
There's interesting themes going on with you getting in these films.
I know there is.
Now it's like a voodoo involved.
Well, this one isn't a voodoo one. I'm so bummed this isn't a voodoo one. This was just a straight horror film. But I play like roving reporter Sabrina Sanchez, and I get to interview in my scene this FBI agent. What I love about Romain is because he's foreign, he's got an international bent. The FBI agent I interview is of Middle Eastern descent. His name is Iyad Hajjaj. He's a big Middle Eastern actor. He's been in Madam Secretary. Lots of these shows where they need like Middle Eastern people. But
right.
He's a renowned Middle Eastern actor. I want to say he's Palestinian. I can't really remember. But very prominent Middle Eastern actor. But he's playing the FBI agent. And normally when they play those roles, they're like, you know, get rid of the accent. Romain's like, no, you keep the accent, man. I can't do his imitation. He's like, you wanted the accent. And he's like, yeah, you keep your accent. So I was in the scene with him, but the stars of the film were Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side.
Yes.
He worked with Sandra Bullock. He's incredible. I don't want to give away what happens to him, but, you know, stereotypically what happens to African-American males in horror films. But, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sadie Katz from Wrong Turn 6. Jenna Willis from the O.J. Simpson, People versus O.J. Simpson. Lots of great actors. You know, we had Iyad that I mentioned. Massey Ferland from the Batman movies. It was just an all-star cast, international cast. The lead was Lillian Lev. She's a Russian. American actress. So, you know, she played a Russian character. So they brought in all these Russian actors. So it truly was an international cast. And I didn't really notice that because, you know, my scenes were different. But when you come to the red carpet and you take the cast photo, you're like, wow, this is a really interesting cross section. This is what the world is. So it was great to work with him. He is a really good filmmaker. He's also an author. He's kind of an interesting fellow. He dressed up like Napoleon Bonaparte at our premiere.
Wow.
And that was an ode to his Haitian heritage. Yeah. So he's just a really talented guy. And it was great working with him.
And what is, so did we talk, did we find out what hubristophilia means? Come on, you can say
it's
it.
Like it's like some kind of dirty sexual thing.
Oh, dirty sexual. We got to Google that.
We got to Google.
Albert, you're going to have to Google
it. Get your husband to work.
Google it. Well, yeah, work over
he's
there.
He's going to blush.
Okay, so let's talk. Now, you had mentioned Kristen DeBell, who starred in Hunter, Future Cop.
Yes.
One of my favorite films, Meatballs. Love that. Mm-hmm. But she was also in some of my favorite shows from the 70s, like Policewoman, The Young and Restless, Ada Is Enough, and the reprise Chip. It's not the movie now, but the old Chip. She was in the old Chip. And she's still rocking and rolling.
She's still rocking and rolling. She's incredible.
What was it like to work with a veteran actress like Kristen DeBell? You know, did you pick up any great advice or tips? Or
I don't think we had time because we were in the dark, dank basement. But, you know, she just kept it going. She's a true professional. She's, you know, ready to go. You know, she's ready to go. And so is Mel. It's funny. I worked with Mel.
Mel's ready to go in more ways than one.
Oh,
but
Mel, yeah. I mean, her and Mel were great. I just watching them, you know, just going through her paces. What I really admire about her was when she did those roles, she was a young ingenue.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when people either grow into themselves as actors, I think, because I was also a journalist for many years, so I've seen both sides, or they grow out of themselves as an actor. But what I like about Christine is she wasn't like being a girl about it. She was being like a woman, you know? So if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But she was very motherly as her nun, and she was just wonderful. She was really on point. She was great. And what I noticed with Mel is he really acts in the eyes, and I believe she does too. But for some reason, I really noticed it on Mel, and we worked together on another project up by the wonderful Thomas J. Churchill called Cold Plastic. And I can't really give much away, but there was a scene where he had to do a lot with his eyes, and I'm like, wow, you really, how do you like not get cross-eyed? And he gave me some really wonderful tips about camera angles and pointing. I mean, some of this stuff you know, but it's a great reminder. And sometimes you just got to see it.
Right.
I'm sure you see that in your Mary Lou Belly thing, and you're a seasoned actress yourself. So you see there's a lot going on in the eyes. But yeah, that was a great experience. And I might I add that starting April 1st, which was yesterday.
Yes. Wait, you are going too fast. I got that covered. Remember, girl, I got it.
Okay.
I got to calm Vita down because she's going to just talk the whole show and I don't get to say anything. This is Vita's show. I don't need to be here at all. Hey, yes. No, that's not possible. But look up hystebrilophilia. Hybristophilia. Look that up. Google that while we're continuing with the show. Hybristophilia. But what I wanted to talk about Mel Novak for a second.
Sure, sure.
As we said, in Bruce Lee's Game, he's a veteran actor. Yes. Bruce Lee's Game of Death, Black Belt Jones. Again, we had him on the show a couple years ago. Fabulous guest. What you told us a little bit about working with Mel Novak, right? But what do you feel that you learned most from him that you could say, well, you know, you should really take some tips from Mel Novak? Like, what did
you know? There was a it was very intense. I mean, I wasn't doing like Bruce Lee moves, I wasn't doing like Yul Brynner moves, but he's like, Vita, like, cheat yourself like this way. So you're in the scene. Don't like rock back. I'll try to keep your not your fall, but I'll try to keep you from, you know, getting too banged up. And he did, because I could have gotten a lot more banged up. But he's like, you know,
you could have just been off food and drink completely by now.
I think I would have been in like some institutionalized or something, because I love my food. But yeah, I mean, he really like gave me insight. And just to be with him, like, Christine is incredible, but this was a very, for me, it was very strenuous, because I'm like classically a comedy girl, you know? So for me, I'm more, I guess, mentally strenuous than like emotionally strenuous. So I think just him helping me out was very beneficial. And him like saying, you know, Rich, maybe you should come more this away.
Or right.
Even though our director knew what he was doing, Mel's been doing this an awfully long time.
That's right.
So, you know, just protecting my fall. And, you know, he may be an older gentleman, but he is very, very strong.
Yes. And so, he knows so many, because people have worked with him before have told me that he could actually be on a film and he does a little bit of directing. He does a little bit. He does so many roles because he's been doing it for so long. He can't not help himself but help the film out, because
and, like,
it's a
stunt,
product
it almost,
that he's in.
Exactly. And it's a, so, like, not stunt work, but like how to like not get hurt work.
Exactly.
But it's funny, the side, and not to knock the others, but the side that Mel was like on this side of me, the side that Mel was on, I wasn't as injured as the other side.
Right.
Because I think, you know, they were just focused
instead
on,
of Mel having your back, Mel had your side.
Mel had my side. So I used to lead with my left, now I lead with my right. Thank you, Mel Novak.
Thank you, Mel Novak.
And I have to
always
there for me. And I have to give them a plug, because tonight is the Universe Multicultural Film Festival, and Mel is getting an award. He's a legendary Lifetime Achievement Award. Aki Aliong, who's a renowned actor, is getting an award. These are all Joe's clients. Lorene Landon, you know, our girl from Hundra and I the Jury and all these great movies, Sky with Norman Reedus. She's getting an award, and Thomas J. Churchill, who I'm working with, who I've worked with Mel before, he's going to be a presenter. So the Universe Multicultural Film Festival in Palos Verdes, or is it Rolling Hills Estates, is going on tonight, started by the wonderful Lin Tang. But I opted to come here with you.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't believe you turned that down. I would have gone
there.
We could have
done
it
in August.
You could have been in the bathroom, all right, doing your interview with
me
in the bathroom.
I could have. I wanted to see you.
Thank you so much. Now, we're going back to Holy Terror. It had its exclusive debut on Amazon Prime yesterday. And can you tell the audience who doesn't know what it means to have an exclusive debut of a film on Amazon Prime, What does that mean? Why does it only run for a month, etc.?
Sure. They kind of just gave a preview window via Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime, you know, I love Netflix, but lately I've been, and I'm not saying this because I have a film on Amazon Prime, but lately I've been watching a lot more Amazon Prime because they have a very good film library. I mean, Netflix is great for original series and documentaries, but, you know, I just saw The Lobster, that wonderful movie The Lobster on Amazon Prime.
I want to see that. That's in my favorites. Is it good?
It's such an interesting subject matter. You have to be in the mood to see something slightly European.
Okay.
But yeah, you have to kind of be in a trippy mood. So you guys, you know, get your wine and watch. You got to be in it, wear your beret.
It just
or whatever.
Seems so bizarre and out there. But I'm kind of
cool.
I'm a huge Colin Farrell fan. I'd
and
watch
he's
him.
Good
anything.
At it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, wow, that's such a fascinating storyline. Weird.
You can tell it's a foreign production.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. They just gave us an exclusive, and the cool thing is...
How did they get that? Who was the one who made the connection to get on Amazon? I mean, everybody asked me that question. Oh. How can I get a film on Amazon Prime?
Well, that would be
Prime.
The producers. That would be Gregory Hatanaka and Rich Mallory. Gregory Hatanaka is not just a renowned director. He's also a distributor.
Yes.
And he has Cinema Epoch, which he's had for years, and he's distributed many, many films. So I think you need a seasoned person.
Yeah. Well, we're going to just talk. You just tell us what you know, Vita, as the beautiful actress.
Oh,
what do you know about Amazon Prime?
I think if you try hard enough, you can get anything you want. That's basically what I've learned.
Like, that's right.
Having your coffee in the morning.
Finally. So it's going to go for a month. What's going to happen? You just rent it. You can rent it for a month.
I guess if you're an Amazon Prime member, which is about 100 skins a year.
We are.
Yes, I think you get it for free. If not, you have to pay money to get it. And, you know, I think that's a true honor,
though. A lot of films don't make it.
A lot of films don't make it that far. And then it'll be released on VOD and other... you know, sites, whatever, starting in May. But I think they just got the Amazon Prime exclusive. So I'm grateful. I think Gregory has had a strong relationship with them. So, you know, it helps.
So get on there and look for Holy Terror. It is on Amazon Prime right now as we speak. But wait until after my show's over. Now,
yes,
you also just start again, Histobrilophilia. Hopefully Albert is looking that up on Google. Opposite Quentin Aaron of the Academy winning hit movie The Blind Side from 2009. And you obviously remember Quentin Aaron. He was Big Mike, who starred alongside Oscar winner Sandra Bullock. And that was a wonderful performance.
It was.
I was in tears the whole movie.
Yes.
I couldn't stand it. Now, can you please tell us what the movie is about? Oh, we already told us about it. Well, what was it like working with Big Mike, Quentin Aaron?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll be honest. My scenes weren't with him, but he's such a stand-up guy. Like, the director, Romain, told him that I adore him. So he came to set that day that I was working on the film, and he is lovely. He is sweeter and warmer than Big Mike. He is just a big bundle of love.
Yeah.
He's a really sweet guy, and he was hounded like everybody wanted his autograph. Mm-hmm. We walk out of the building. It was just, you know, it was like being at a movie premiere. There were people wanting his autograph. There were little kids there. We were next to some facility that was a casting company. And of course, it was the day that they were auditioning kids, I guess, for commercial or whatnot. And there were all these kids there. They heard that he was in the area. They all wanted autographs. People would, like, and he would sign every single one.
Isn't he sweet?
And he was such a trooper and such a nice guy. And he was just there for all of us. Just a lovely, lovely fellow. And I have to say, I'm an ambassador of a charity, Artists for Trauma. And he came to support the charity at one of our events.
Well,
he's a busy dude.
I'm sure you know this, but when I looked him up, I was researching him on IMDb. And I was impressed that he's dedicated to advocating for the fight against bullying.
Yes.
And he began the Quentin Aaron Foundation, whose mission is to provide encouragement and confidence and resources. So you know that for children on the brink of suicide, which is becoming a big thing now.
Yes, I believe he was bullied growing up.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's a gentle giant. So I think it's wonderful that he does this.
Yeah. So what you're saying about him totally coincides with what we've read here. But maybe you can go and support his foundation. Does he still have it? Or
I think he goes across the country, actually. I know he speaks at schools just because I follow him on Instagram. Instagram. But I know he speaks at schools, and I think I remember him telling us at the Artist for Trauma event, I think he was en route to speaking engagement. Mm. So he gives a lot of speaking engagements.
It's so important, though.
It is. It's these times people just hide behind the computer.
I'm telling you. The cyberbullying. Oh, my gosh. Awful. I never had to deal with that. Back in the day, you just beat the hell out of someone was getting on your nerves. You just didn't do any cyberbullying.
Exactly.
I mean, I did, but that's what they, that's right. The way they handled it old
people
school.
People did crank calls, right? Crank calls.
That's about the extent of it. Now, I am so impressed and happy that you booked a supporting role in a film called Darling Nikki.
Yes.
Because you're going to work with a truly amazing multi-award winning producer, as you talked about earlier, but I want to talk a little bit about him because I did some research on him. I was like, why do I know that name? Why do I know? Because you know you hear so many names. Gregory Hatanaka.
Yes.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with his name, Vita told us a little bit about him, but you have to go on IMDb just so you can read. I mean, his bio is very extensive. And by the way, Vita, you have to beg him to come on my show.
Sure,
please, please,
of course.
Please have him come on. But this man, Gregory Hatanaka, has overseen or been affiliated with the distribution of over 200 films, including, I got to run these down, John Woo's iconic film, The Killer, starring one of my favorite foreign actors, Chow Yun-fat.
I love him.
I think he's so sexy. Mm. And the Coen brothers, Blood Simple.
Yes, classic.
Yeah, South of Heaven, West of Hell, directed and starring Dwight Yoakam, Vince Vaughn, Billy Bob Thornton, and Bridget Fonda. Blue Juice, I think you mentioned that, starring Catherine Zeta-Jones and Ewan McGregor. And the original Fever Pitch starring Colin Firth. Right, yeah, right. And Too Tired to Die starring, I love Mira Sorvino.
Me too.
I love her. Kiss and Tell with Heather Graham, Rose McGowan, and David Arquette. And I don't know this one. Portraits Chinois starring Helena Bonham Carter. Hmm. I'm not familiar with that one.
Maybe if we were in England, we would know more about
that. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And
Spot of Tea.
Yeah, finally, A Little Bit of Soul starring Oscar winner Jeffrey Rush. So this man is huge. No wonder he got that damn movie on Amazon Prime. Yeah. That didn't seem like a stretch for him. One phone call, it's Hatanaka.
But, you know, he looks really young.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he looks like a kid.
Wow. Because this is a lot of films to have done one, because these are all features, I would imagine.
And, you know, when you sit with him, it's like he's an encyclopedia of all things movies. So you always learn something from this man. He's so knowledgeable. Ooh. And he was a cinematographer for this, so it was like having a first-rate cinematographer.
Oh,
so he's just a really talented person.
I mean, look at the people he's worked with. These are like A-list celebrities.
Yes, he's amazing.
So to get him to work on your project, to work with him,
it's a learning
that's
experience.
That's a notch on your belt, girl. So anyway, Darling Nikki, what's the film about? Who's your character?
You know, I always thought it was based on the Prince song, but it's not.
You're so cute. I remember that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you know, Gregory has a European kind of taste, mm-hmm. and you really see it in his work. And it's based on the life of this liberated woman, Darling Nikki, but it, of course, has nothing to do with the Prince song. But it might. God may rest in peace. He might. But no, it's just a really interesting project, and I'm excited to work with him. He always has a great ensemble of actors, often works with James Duval, who I loved, and Donnie Darko. But I'm just looking forward to that, and looking forward to working with him more. There's a couple other projects I'm going to work with him on, but I haven't been able to announce it. It's not on IMDb yet, so I'm very excited.
Well, as you said, in this movie, James Duvall, Independence Day, Donnie Darko, Gone in 60 Seconds, and Hawaii Five-0.
Yes.
He was on that. Thomas Churchill, J. Churchill,
yes.
Actor, director, Checkpoint, Lazarus, Day, Living of the Dead. And, of course, Kristen DeBell and
yes.
Mel Novak is in this one, too.
Yes.
What is this, like a triad? You, Kristen, and Mel.
That sounds
you
perverted triad. It sounds like polyamorous.
Yes.
And I only know about polyamorous
people.
Wait a minute.
You were in that film, Hystra.
Hybristophilia.
Come on. What is it, Albert? You looked it up. Tell us what.
Hybristophilia.
You got to talk in the mic, honey. Talk in the mic, sweetie.
Oh.
What does it mean?
Hybristophilia.
What does it mean?
It's a paraphilia in which sexual arousal, felicitation, and attainment of orgasm mm-hmm. are responsible to and contingent upon being with a partner known to have committed an outrage. cheating, lying, known infidelities, or crime such as rape, murder, or armed robbery.
Wow.
Yeah, romance.
Well, half of that is most of the guys, but then when you get into the rape and the murder and the killing and you know about it, that is a sicko. Ooh,
yeah,
I gotta
there's
see
an interesting
this film.
Twist. There's some really interesting
twists. I gotta
twists.
See that.
And women are very empowered in this, I might add.
Wow.
I was surprised when I saw the film. I'm like, ooh. Wow, it's not your typical. Of course, there's a lot of naked
scenes.
What's
it coming out? When can we see it?
You know, the premiere was just cast and crew and, like, you know, friends or whatever and media, but I'm sure he's figuring something out.
Oh my gosh.
I hope he does.
I'll put that on the list. I hope that makes it to Amazon
Quentin
Prime.
Quentin was incredible. And the gal, Sadie and Jenna, were incredible. Massey was great. Everybody was outstanding.
Well, as if Vita is not already busy doing all these damn movies and going to premieres, you are also, oh my gosh, you're starring in two more films directed by Thomas J. Churchill.
Yes, he's incredible.
So I'm a Scorpio, so Scorpion Girl.
Yes.
And Copperhead Creek, opposite James Van Patten. Now, you know James Van Patten. You know, he's in the Saw movies. Now, I never saw the Saw movies, but my cousin's obsessed with the Saw movies. So
right.
It's like, James Van Patten in the Saw. So, Saw movies, and if you're not familiar with him, he played Dr. Hefner and the coroner in the couple of Saw movies, and he has
right.
a ton of credits.
Here's
what caught my eye when I was researching him. He was on a couple episodes of Happy Days. And the reason that caught my eye is because I'm friends with Jim Meskimen, who is Marion Ross's son.
Yes, I know him. I went to his show.
Next Saturday again.
And I love him and his wife, Tamara.
Yes, yes.
And he gave me so much advice when I got started in voiceover. He is incredible. Oh. I bet he's been on your show, right?
Oh, yeah, he's been on my show. And we go to his shows. He doesn't have them very often because he's so busy. But
yes.
He's having one next
with
Saturday.
The impersonation.
The celebrity impersonation. And he's having the comedian Angela Hoover from America's Got Talent as comic standing there. So we're going to the show next Saturday. But that's why it caught my eye, because he was on episode of Happy Days.
And he's moved to Sherman Oaks.
Yes,
over
the Actor Studio.
Yes.
Actor Center.
Yes.
The Actor Center. So he's fantastic. We're going to go see him next Saturday. So, if you want to go, the Actor Center next Saturday at 8 o'clock. You can Google it. Tickets are still available. Oh, he's so fabulous. Oh, my
he
God.
Is.
He sounds, Arnold Schwarzenegger sounds just like him. Anyone that he does. I was so upset when he did not win America's Got Talent because he was the best.
He was the best. Do you think sometimes some people are just too good?
Yeah, I think it is.
It's like they don't know what to do with it.
He was so polished. I don't know.
Maybe he was
too good. He's right up there. The same caliber as that Fader guy that ended up winning America's Got Talent and is now doing a show in Vegas.
Right.
He's a ventriloquist, but still the same caliber, just top notch.
You know,
I have to say,
I know a lot of people in the industry, as do you, that are like second generation, you know, celebrities or whatever. But he is just as amazing as his mother.
Yes,
and he deserves so
right.
much.
Yeah,
he should have his like own sitcom on Comedy Central.
Well,
I mean, he's doing great.
I think he had something with another guy on Pop TV.
No, but he deserves like everything.
He does.
He deserves like everything. And I know him. I don't know him that well, so I'm not getting any paid promotion.
Yeah,
but he morphs into the character. He is such a good man. My sister teaches at LA Valley College, and he volunteered his time to do a show for the students, and he did a lot of Shakespearean characters because he teaches English Lit, and everybody was mesmerized, the professors, the students, not just all the faculty, the people that work at the college. He was so incredible that they all started going to his shows. He is like this diamond that nobody knows about.
He's like
this undiscovered gem.
I don't understand that, because you have some people who, I'm going to be honest, don't have that much talent, and they're stars. And then you have people like him, who is just brilliant.
Yes.
And then he's not, you know, up on that level with somebody that's a total like A-list celebrity. I'm like, he's got 10 times more talent than they do.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Maybe he's just too good is what I'm thinking.
And that goes for just a lot of people that like if you go to music shows and you see like these brilliant musicians and you go, well, they're
they can sing better than, you know, this person or that person, but for some reason.
And he's so nice. Not, and he's like a family man.
Yeah.
And he loves his wife and his daughter, and they have the little holiday cards with the whole family.
I know,
like, you don't
so
see
cute.
That. This is like the land of the sluts and the whores. Hit it and quit it.
I know. He is like the last of the nuclear family.
Like, yes, he does look like a nuclear family. Like him and his wife and the kid, they could be from the 1950s.
I know. I saw, we went, I don't know if you're familiar with Jeannie Diva. God rest her soul, she passed on. But the last time I saw him was at a funeral, and he spoke. Oh, and he's such a great orator.
He is, and he's great at voiceover.
Yeah.
He's renowned in voiceover.
You got to check out his show. Check out the Acting Center. Now, what we want to talk about now is I want to ask you a question. What the heck, as an actress, what the heck are these slate shots? Now, how is this, as an actor...
It's the one where you talk?
A friend of mine called me. She's a photographer. Her name is Carrie Cavalier.
It's a new thing.
And she said, yeah, you got to make sure you tell these actors about slate shots. And so as she was describing it, I said, how is this different than when you go to Actors Access? You know how they charged $150 and then you'd slate
the
your name.
The two little minute thing.
And So how is it different? The only thing she said the way it was different was that you just get like 7 or 8 seconds. So have you heard about this?
Yes,
and do you
I've
recommend
seen it.
This? I mean, there's a difference between $35 and $150, but here's what I'm saying.
I just think it's a waste to make money, don't you?
I do. Here's what I'm saying. I have some top-notch casting directors on here, and when I ask them about those things they do at Actors Access. Not that I'm pointing out, because I love Actors Access, but I'm
talking
about... I
think LA Casting's the expensive
LA,
one.
Yeah.
I like you, Beau Bonneau, with your French name, but you're awfully expensive to change up.
Here's what the casting directors say. It's my five-minute warning.
That's the five-minute warning.
Here's what my casting director friends say. They say, you know what? When I go to look at your demo reel, I don't want to know that your favorite color is blue, that your favorite food's fried chicken, that you lived in Iowa. I don't give a crap. I just want to see you act.
Yes.
But yet, actors are wasting a lot of money on these things.
And time.
And
I think the thing that I've lost the most of, because you can always make the money back, is time.
That's right.
And I want to give a big shout out to Joe Williamson, my amazing publicist who hooked me up with this, who always tells
me that,
that I spend so much of my time wasting my time. And he's like, Vita, there's no seasons here. The years can pass you by.
Oh, no.
He's got a bit of a brogue, doesn't he? I can't do the Liam Neeson.
He's so funny, though.
But he's right. Yeah. It's the time.
Yeah.
Time management is...
I mean, excuse me. If you're an actor, you need a demo reel.
Yes, and you got to update it. You got to get the footage.
Yeah, but they don't give a crap of you know what your favorite color is.
No,
and no.
I think
don't
the slate shots are going to go away.
I do too. I think it's the same thing Actors Access has been doing for years. Real quick, what are the pros and cons of the life of an actor? Pros, well, at least one con.
You never
con
know
is you don't know. You're
you never
get
know what's around
money.
The corner, but that's also a con.
That's right.
I think the pros are like, you know, finding your community.
I think it's cool. You get to play different characters.
Yes,
you get to learn how to sword fight. You get because if you get cast on a project that requires a skill, they will teach you that.
Yes,
and
they
you don't
will.
Have to pay any money.
Exactly.
Like, if you get cast in a feature, it's a sword fight. If you don't know how to do it, usually they will cast someone that has to do it. But sometimes they will teach you if you're, you know, what they're looking for.
I just love being different characters,
yeah,
like you said.
That's the best part. Yes. I mean, why be yourself all the time when you could be other people? Why not? Do you feel the hardest part about acting? Like, auditions are what I would think would be absolutely the worst.
I hate auditions.
Hate them.
I hate the side shots because I have
just
a very Persian nose when you slate. I'm always like, ooh.
Just cast me in the damn film. I don't want to, you don't need to audition me. But of course you have to. But what do you know?
I think for me, because I don't really do commercial auditions so much anymore. I don't know how commercial I am. I was going to Santa Monica Friday at 3 o'clock on the 405 for a reaction shot. For like Cheetos, you know, and you're like the secretary in the building and it's all covered in Cheetos and you just give a reaction shot and they're like, okay, thank you. So you're in and out before you know it. You're like,
that's
huh?
why I love this whole thing about eCast that they have on Actors Access.
EcoCast.
Yes. You do the audition.
They don't do that for commercials.
No, I wasn't talking commercial. I'm talking
in general.
Yeah, in general. So I love that. I think that everybody should do that. That's fantastic.
The wave of the future.
The way of the future. Think back to your first audition.
Wow.
Do you remember that? What did you have to do that was the hardest? Memorize the lines, remember your character.
I mean, memorize the lines, remember the character, but do I look at the casting person or do I look at the camera?
Please answer that. So many people ask me that because I was taught that you're supposed to look in the camera because that's the person you're acting with.
Right.
But then I also hear that you're supposed to be looking off camera at the casting. What is your opinion?
You know what I've learned lately?
I've heard both.
And I think they kind of tell you.
I think they're supposed to tell you.
They're like, oh, okay, you read to me. And that's like, okay, I'm reading to you.
Some actors are afraid to ask and they'll do something and they think it's the wrong thing.
Exactly.
I say there's nothing wrong with asking.
You know, it's funny. I was in a room recently for a film. I don't even know what's going to happen to. That always happens. And I took a chance. I had a friend coach me. He's like an actor, studio actor, Ford Austin, a renowned actor. And he's like, Vita, why don't you, it's an indie film. It's not like it's a sitcom. Throw in a little something in there. And I'm like, really? And I threw in something in there and they liked the something in there. But the problem is when they have you do it again, it's like, do you throw something else in there?
I know that you don't
What do you throw in there? It's like, you know, you get more seasoned with as an actor and you get more confident in yourself and life, not to sound like an after school special. Right. You want to take risks, but do you want to make it too risky?
Yeah.
Do you not make it risky enough? I mean, you know what I mean?
It's very difficult.
And
to
commercials,
make
is it like, oh, what do you wear for commercials? I'm sick of chasing that horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what characteristic traits does a person have to be a great actor, in your opinion?
I think patience. Mm. I think patience. Mm. And I think you have to have a fortitude. What was that famous line? The skin of a rhinoceros. There's a famous quote, the brains of Minerva. To be an actress, some like 1940s actress said this. I want to say it was like Joan Crawford or somebody. You have to have the skin of a rhinoceros. You have to have the brains of Minerva. You have to have the beauty of Venus or Aphrodite. I forget what it was. Or the complexion of Aphrodite. I forget, but it's a wonderful quote.
I don't know that one. But okay, what about, do you have good memorization skills? How do you learn your lines? I can't learn lines.
Oh, I don't want to be a plug, but David Lawrence has a great app called Rehearsal. And you read the lines into the app.
Oh, there's an app. That's a good tip. It's an app. It's called what?
Rehearsal.
On iPhone and Android?
Yes, I have it on my iPad. It's incredible. It's
what
like up
it
my
do?
Game. I only paid like $20 for it or $10
what
for it.
What does it do?
You read the lines and it highlights it for you or it scratches things out for you. You can write in different colors and you read the lines and then like I do different voices, right? I do voiceover, right? So I don't want to bother anybody. So I just do both the lines myself. And then I learn the lines. Like there's different ways you can memorize it. You can either listen to it or you can either read it yourself.
Wow.
But I think writing it out helps too.
I like that. All right. That's a great tip. What is the app? One more time. Actors, get this app.
Rehearsal app, David Lawrence. And you're welcome, David Lawrence.
There you go. Yeah. You need to take her out to dinner. Well, thank you. As always, we have the wonderful, gorgeous, sexy Vita Ghaffari. Go to our website, soveryvita.com. And we thank you. Say goodbye to your fans, Vita.
Oh, thank you so much. April 1st, starting yesterday on Amazon Prime is Holy Terror. And you can find me at soveryvita.com. And Vita Ghaffari on social
media. There you go. The gorgeous. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Quest to Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.